Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to King Scott Radio and TV. We have a fantastic opportunity for a terrific show, all in one big swoop. I'm here with Mr. Chuck Hicks. They call him Mr. Black History, and he is doing an event along with some other folks that are joined in as a team. And we're going to be doing the Father's Day Parade. Chuck, let me introduce you.
Thank you.
So we want to talk about this event, and we would like for you to give us the details of what's going to be going on and some of the dignitaries and what the experience was like last year when this took place. And we're just going to let you have the mic and talk it out.
Well, the purpose of the Black Fathers Motorcade is to celebrate Black Fathers. A year ago, when there was a lot of demonstrations going on here in the city, and people were talking about doing things, and I thought about, I would like to have been out there, but at my age, I can't really do anything, and it was George Floyd and other black men, so I thought that it just came to me that perhaps we need to celebrate Black Fathers. So, and with the pandemic, we couldn't do anything, basically. So we put together a motorcade, and we invited people to come by. We started at the African American Civil War Museum, and we celebrated Black Fathers. The purpose of Black Fathers Matter is to celebrate Black Fathers and say that they matter, say that we care about them, and that understanding that Black Fathers have been around, and if it were not black for Black Fathers, there could be no black families. And so we want to celebrate black men, black fathers in a positive sense, a positive light. Oftentimes we have such negative views of black men, black boys, black fathers. And with that, we also want to remember and recognize the number of unarmed black men who've been killed in this country by policemen. And the third piece of this celebration, the purpose of this celebration, is to remind black fathers and the community to encourage black fathers, black men, that with the virus going on, that black in this city and perhaps throughout the whole country, that the numbers for infections are highest among black men and the deaths are highest among black men. And that also we want to, not only the virus, but we want to encourage black men to take care of their health. And so those are the three principles upon which this motorcade occurs. We will begin at the African American Civil War Museum and under Dr. Frank Smith. And I say oftentimes that if there had not been for the Civil War and of course the African American Civil War Museum, that would be it would be difficult for the African American Museum of History and Culture to exist, because the basis of all of that, our history comes out of slavery and the Civil War. And so the motorcade will begin at the African American Civil War Museum. This year we have a number of people going to be part of the motorcade. We have Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton. We have the Fire Chief McConley. We have the Chief of Police, Robert County. We have Council Member Robert White. Trayon White, we have the council member Denise Lewis from Ward 4, and we have the council member from Ward 5, Council Member McDuffie. And so we're excited about them. We also have, as I say, Dr. Frank Smith, who was a former civil rights worker and a former council member, and now head of the African American Civil War Museum. And also we have a couple of civil rights leaders, icons, including Dory Leidner, who will be a part of the parade, and there are some of the, our local community leaders from ANC members who will be a part of it, and other people who are just active in that community that are being a part of it. We have Denise Roloff Barnes, who runs Informa, that will be a part of it. And so we are this project is beginning to grow. We think next year, it'll be much wider, and we will try to include people from the DMV, from Maryland and Virginia, who would like to come in and be a part of this motorcade. The motorcade will actually start at the African-American Civil War Museum in Ward 1. It will go through Ward 1, 5, 7, and 8. That means going down Florida Avenue to 8th Street to Minnesota Avenue to Martin Luther King, in short. Motorcade should be about 45 minutes, we think. And once we get, we're going to end up at the big chair, and at the big chair, we'll have some giveaways. We'll have, first of all the people who are in the motorcade will get balloons and ribbons to decorate their car. They will get a cap that says Black Fathers Matter, Black Lives Matter, Get the Shot is going to be on the back of that. So each person in the motorcade will get that. And of course we have those much sought after signs that we had last year that says Black Fathers Matter, Black Lives Matter. And of course everybody will be given those, and there'll be about 25, 30, maybe 50 signs in each car so that people can give them out along the way. Once we get to the big chair, we will have a vaccine unit set up. And for people, anybody who gets a shot, they will get a gift certificate from Bus Boys in Port, I think for $15. They will get, as the UPO has donated, some non-perishable bags that include paper towels, toilet paper, and other items. And then they're delivering PPI material. And then we have a group that has given us about 1,000 or 1,500 masks and hand sanitizers. And also, while you're at the Civil War Museum, decorating your car and stuff, Ben and Jerry's is going to be there, and they're going to be giving away free scoops of ice cream. And we're happy about that. And then, once again, we got a sponsor who has given us the signs for little or nothing, so we're happy about that. So that's kind of where we are. Once we get to the big chair, which is what we'll be accommodating, we'll encourage people to get the shot, and if they get the shot, they get all these giveaway items, including a cap that says Black Fathers Matter, Black Lives Matter, Get the Shot. And then they'll be given a World Kitchen will be there, and they will give out free boxes of food to people in the community. So it is a great time that we feel to celebrate black men, to put us on a more positive light, and to say that black men matter.
Well, Chuck, let me ask a couple of questions here, because that is a bountiful thing to get some food, some clothing, lots of love, and to appreciate us African-American men as we become fathers. But not just African-American, all men, because fathership is always a difficult task in being a father in the 21st century. What I like about it is that so many others are beginning to join in, and prayerfully, if someone wanted to donate to this organization to doing this, because you all do have expenses, this stuff is not free, and we don't pull it out the air, nor is it grown in the dirt. How would they go about donating to
this? They could send a check could be sent to D.C. Black History Celebration Committee, and in the location they can put Black Fathers Matter, and it can be sent to D.C. Black History Celebration Committee, 905 6th Street Southwest, Apartment 302B, Washington, D.C., and of course they can give me a call at 202-421-8608. And one of the questions that oftentimes come up, and I'm glad you brought up about fathers, is that oftentimes I've gotten calls and they say, well, I'm white or I'm Latino, can I participate in this? And our position is that if you support Black Lives Matter, then Black Fathers Matter. And we welcome anybody who wants to be a part of the motorcade, who wants to come to volunteer to have out early. If people want to volunteer a little early, there's lots of tasks that can be done. And they can show up at 10:30, and we'll give them a task to help make this a success.
Well, Chuck, I tell you, you've been out here in the community for decades, and it's good to still see you kicking around. Chuck claims that he's older, but actually his spirit is so young. He could teach us all a thing or two. And Frank Smith has been on the front line for many decades as well, so we want to definitely send a shout out to him as we are going to broadcast this. We will, King Sky Radio on TV will be there to broadcast the event, and we also will be doing some photography as well. But again, these events cost, and we asking everyone to pitch in to help make something like this even greater, because next year is coming, if the Lord allows. And, you know, one of the things that really touches my heart is that you're talking about feeding families as well, because things are difficult right now coming out of this pandemic, and we're just surviving with this. So to get shots and get some medical attention, this is like a lazy Susie of love. You're just passing it around so that everyone can also get a part of it and be a part of it, something great. Now, specifically, when people send in their donations, can you repeat that so people will know exactly what they need to do and
yes, I can, and
help us out here?
They should send a donation to D.C. Black History Committee, 905 6th Street Southwest, Apartment 302B, Washington, D.C., 20024, or they can call me at 202-421-8608.
Well, I also want to welcome in Johnson & Jenkins Funeral Home. They have been a supportive of King Scott Radio and TV and just all in the community themselves. Later on, we're going to be talking with Miss Jenkins, and she always brings something special to the table in terms of helping the community. Just outside of her funeral home, which is located on Kennedy Street, there's a little teeny library. That's right. You can actually come up and get a book and return the book and just keep on reading. That's something that she's been doing for eons and eons. And it's people like Chuck, Frank, even myself in a small capacity to be able to broadcast this information and to get the word out and letting people know that, hey, everybody can be a part of something great if you'll just be willing to participate. Look, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back at you. King Scott Radio and TV. Okay, Chuck. So can you tell us about some of the other things that are that you all, the organization, is involved in terms of the District of Columbia? Because we're going to kick the fuss back up. We're going to continue to do positive things in the community, and we know that you are connected to a lot of them. What are some of the other things that you all do?
Well, one of the things that we're involved in this year is a Black classical composers concert that'll be done on Saturday, June 19, as a part of our Juneteenth celebration. And what's important about that is oftentimes our Black composers and Black classical composers particularly don't get a lot of recognition. And so we're trying to highlight the role that Black classical composers and Black composers, period, have played in the music scene in this country. And so we're going to be doing that. It's online. And they can call me and I can give them the information. It's virtual. Of course, there are a number of Juneteenth events that we're involved in. There's a couple senior citizen places that I am speaking at and talking about Juneteenth. As you know, it is just will become a national holiday sometime today that President Biden is going to sign it into law, and it will be our 12th national holiday, and we just say absolutely excited about Juneteenth. And for those who are not familiar with Juneteenth, Juneteenth is a celebration of slaves after they were freed. In particular, it was 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was signed before the people in Galveston, Texas, found out that they were free on June 19th. And so wherever the slaves were free throughout those times, they usually put on their best clothes, their glad rags, and they celebrated. And so after World War II, lots of people forgot when they were freed, that they were in Cottonfield, Mississippi, and they knew that they had slaves that had been free, but they couldn't remember the date when they celebrated. But they knew it was a legal holiday in Texas. So everybody said, well, we'll do it on Juneteenth. And the reason it's called Juneteenth, because as you know, we were just fresh from Africa and continued to come from Africa, and so we spoke broken English. So instead of saying June 19th when the slaves were free, we said Juneteenth. And that's how the word Juneteenth, because we shortcut our words. Actually, if you take you ask people for a phone number, they'll say 488-0241. Now, other people would say 488-02. Zero has two syllables, the O has one syllable, because we still shortcut words. And one of the other things, of course, that we do is that every year we support Bread for the Soul, and Bread for the Soul is an extension of the Black History Committee, where we raise money and toys for children with AIDS and parents of children with AIDS in African American Civil War community. And then, of course, we do a whole list of Black history events. We do a Black calendar with the city that lists about 150, 200 events that are going on for Black History Month. We do a concert called African American Men Sing Songs of Praise. We do another concert called African American Women Sing Solos. We do a Martin Luther King prayer breakfast. And so there's just a number of things that we're involved in, some men's health issues. And so we are constantly being a part of issues and ideas of supporting things that we think are important to the Black community.
You know, I must be extremely, totally honest. I did not know about Juneteenth until a few years ago. Now, also, ladies and gentlemen, we want to make sure that you know we're actually broadcasting live here in Southwest. So if you hear doors closing and things happening, it's because we're out in the public doing this particular interview. And King Sky Radio TV has that ability to come right to your living room and interview and put it on the air on a national level. everywhere. So that's only a gift from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But to piggyback on what Chuck is saying, I did not know, and that's why they call him Mr. Black History, I did not know all of the details about Juneteenth. I know we had broken English, I knew that part, but not the specifics. And this is how we need to educate our young millennials coming in, because if I didn't know, a whole lot of other people probably don't know either. And we want to make sure that we spread this out and about so that people can be aware of our history, because we are a proud community. And speaking of the history, our history has been hidden. Every other culture that we are aware of has a history, but for whatever reason, people was what they call hating on us in terms of our culture and our history and the things that we've done. And we are happy to have a Mr. Chuck Hicks around to give us some explanation and some reason and to put it out there. And then with a little soul like mine, we can put it on a national level and get it out so that everyone will know and that we can be a proud community. So look, the things that are important for our community is awareness. And the things that Chuck Hicks is talking about is awareness and getting us aware. So we're going to take another commercial break and we'll come right back at you. King Scott Radio and TV. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're back here down here in Southwest, and we're talking with Mr. Chuck Hicks, Mr. Black History himself. And I've added on another icon in the community, Miss Jenkins. I have so much love for her. Whew.
I'm speechless. Thank you.
Well, we'll tell that story at another time, but
yes, sir.
We wanna talk about the things that Johnson & Jenkins does in the community as well. It's been decades, just like Mr. Hicks here, and we want to continue to uplift you all because you all are our leaders.
Well, thank you very much. That was greatly appreciated.
So, I talked about earlier in this broadcast about the little library that you have outside the funeral home. And just because it's a funeral home, don't you all run away. This almost happens. And Ms. Jenkins can take the best care of what's left after you decide to leave. So, Ms. Jenkins, tell us a little bit about the funeral home and what you all do in the community.
Certainly. Good afternoon. Basically, we just provide funeral services, cremation services, shipping. We try to meet any need that a family has to take care of their loved one. We've definitely been there since 1975. Definitely seen the community change, grow. Things are really, really moving right now. And we always try to be a part of it in whatever form of fashion we can. Being supporting the youth in the community, the seniors in the community itself, definitely using other businesses in the community. That's very important too. It was very important to my father and it's very important to me. So that's basically mostly what we do.
Well, you're in what ward again?
We're in Ward 4.
Okay, and I know that the ANC leader there, Chuck, can you give us a description of what exactly an ANC leader does?
Well, an ANC leader is a person that is on a local level, like a council member, but they're designated a certain area in the neighborhood or in a ward, and they represent that ward, that section of the ward. As for an example, is Ward 103CB, which is in Ward 6, we'll say. Then if somebody wants to come in and build an apartment building, want to start a business or do anything, the first step is to go through the ANCs. They must have a meeting with the ANCs to get approval from the ANCs. And it builds from there. If the ANCs are not supportive of the issue, it's very difficult to get something through. ANCs are considered the grassroots first step in terms of in a community, get anything through a community. AECs also important because they can get bus stops changed, they can get sidewalks improved by calling their council members. They have a direct line to their council members. And so there are probably about 150 different ANCs in the district. One of the things I wanted to ask Ms. Jenkins was about her library. How do you, if people wanted to donate books to the library, what kind of books do you take and how could they get them to you?
It's just a little, it's a little house on the front of the parking lot of the funeral home. It takes any kind of books. People just bring them. The rule is, you know, you take one, you bring one. Definitely it's open up. It's open for everyone. So people just drop books by. And if you have any old books that you don't want anymore, please feel free to drop them by. And people just come take books as they need them.
You know, I must say that Ms. Jenkins is on speed dial when it comes to the ANC leaders. I know this personally because I know the work that she does in the community, and it's such a blessing. And see, people don't always know what businesses, African American businesses, do, and it's important for King Scott Radio and TV to make sure that people are aware of stuff like this because it's necessary, and we're training the future. I just love talking about this because with Chuck and Ms. Jenkins and Frank Smith and other dignitaries, we call them, including a council member, they all play a major role in the upkeep of Washington, D.C., and we have to acknowledge them. We simply have to. Ms. Jenkins, can you talk a little bit about your daughter? Because I know she does a lot of things, too. The things that you don't get done, she backs it up. And I always like to mention, plus she's a fun personality.
Thank you. Yes, my oldest daughter, Levana Jenkins, she's a licensed funeral director as well. So she is fourth generation. I'm third generation. She's fourth generation. She has started her own consulting firm, Jay Reed, and basically she is that. She is definitely, you know, my right hand, my backup when I can't fulfill something, and she is great. She is definitely great.
Now, in reference to the Father's Day events that Chuck and Frank and all of the other organizations are doing, I know that, you know, Johnson & Jenkins definitely rolls out the red carpet. But I would like for Chuck to just talk about, are you all making a trip through Ward 4, you said? Will there be a trip through Ward 4?
I think so.
Okay, that's great because, you know, there are a lot of African-American businesses that are out there and they just don't see it. But when people organize stuff, you know, it's good to know that they're doing the stuff in the community. And that's the importance of broadcasting this kind of information. Chuck, can you kind of give us a synopsis of how this is going to end? I know you talked about it earlier, but how is this going to end? I think you said the big chair?
Yeah, Ward 8.
Okay, so in Ward 8, there are going to be free giveaways of food, vaccinations as well, if you need one.
The reason normally what we have done is that we have a culminating place. It was at the Rise last year, and pretty much we just meet and greet each other. But this year, because of the virus, we're trying to encourage particularly people in Ward 8 and Ward 7, where the numbers are highest for infection and deaths than any place else in the city among African Americans, that we are encouraging people to get a shot. We'll have a mobile vaccine unit there from the Department of Health through the mayor. And if people get a shot, they will get a cap that says Black Fathers Matter, Black Lives Matter, get the shot. They will have some PPI material that has some non-perishable goods like paper towels and toilet paper. There's a bag and it's 100 200 bags, 100 of each. And then we have another group who's going to be giving away masks and hand sanitizers. And, of course, we'll also have a limited number, but some free gift certificates to bus boards and ports for about a $20 gift certificate towards any food purchase that you make. And all that, of course, is to encourage, be concerned about black people and our health. And particularly with this pandemic going around, we get lots of different stories. And oftentimes, and I'll make this quick, but you oftentimes hear people talk about the Tuskegee experiment. And they remember the Tuskegee experiment and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, sometimes information is powerful and lack of information is dangerous. And the Tuskegee experiment, what happened was that the men had syphilis, the infected men with syphilis, or they got syphilis, and they refused to give them the penicillin, which would have cured them. And so when they say, well, they give us these things and they killed us, no, they refused to give us the penicillin. Mm. So with the virus, you know, they're giving this out. Everybody who's been involved in this research and the National Black Hospital Association, the National Black Doctors, everybody's had an on-the-ground input into this. And so my argument is that, of course, the wonderful thing is you have choices, but, you know some information. Get out and make some research. Because I oftentimes hear people refer to this Tuskegee incident, and it's just twisted. The sad part was, yes, we got it, and yes, they would not give us the penicillin that could have saved us. And so with this virus that everybody's getting, they're giving us the vaccine like everybody else. I remember going over to Ward 8 to the, Alabama Avenue, I think it is, where the Safeway was at. And when people were lining up, going online to get an appointment, I went over there to take a friend over there. And if there were 40 people in line, there were 30 white people and 10 black people. Because black people would say, I ain't going over there, I ain't getting no shot. And so sometimes we just need to take some time and learn.
Right.
Ask somebody who knows. Just don't go by hearsay.
Right, right, exactly.
And I think that's important to us. And we will continue as the Black History Committee to recognize and to plan things for around black people's health, and particularly around black men. That's, you know, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, mm-hmm. those kinds of things that we need to be around so that people can love us and we can love people and not be missed too soon.
Right. Now, and if you don't do these things, don't worry. Ms. Jenkins will be right there to help you out.
Ms. Jenkins, I am so in awe of what you've done. I had a good friend by the name of Edward Bell who often spoke of you. There was a couple other people, Reverend Hamilton knew you, and a couple other people I know. And so I have known some of the wonderful things you do, and I was a librarian in the D.C. Public Library for a long time in Black Studies, but I collect books and have more than I can read and have read. So in another 2 weeks or so, I'm going to bring you about 100 books.
We will greatly appreciate it.
All right.
They can write up. The books do not last long. Sometimes it's an overflow, and it's only there for about a day or two. And I love that. I love when I see people read. I absolutely adore it. I'm an avid reader, and I love it.
And she also has grandchildren that she's training to read as well. That their family is so awesome. I tell you, it's just not enough goodness that we can talk about with Ms. Jenkins and with Chuck and Ms. Jenkins and all the other things that have come up over the years and decades. This is something that we need. And see, Ms. Jenkins, people know of your reputation, and you may not know, but we know of you. So we definitely want to just continue to thank you for the support, the financial support, the mental support, all of the support that you give us. Now, I have a specific question. Ms. Jenkins, oftentimes we're not prepared for the funeral process, And I know I've done a couple of interviews with you, and you're also on our website. Could you just briefly tell us what we should do or to make an appointment with you so they can understand? Because we fumbled this ball too many times, and then we have compassionate people like you to come along and pick up the weight. But we definitely want to make sure that people understand what they should be doing now, not after have expired, but now to make this process easy for yourself and the family.
Thank you, sir. That's an excellent question. And sadly, it is something I see all too often among our people. And it basically comes down to planning. You can prearrange funerals. You can prearrange your cemetery. These things are very important because you do not want to leave your loved ones, people who are already grieving, worried about how they can respectfully and bury you, respectfully have a funeral for you. So if you don't have insurance, a bank account that's payable on death, or prearrange with your funeral home and cemetery of choice. These prices, and that's another thing, these prices are something that go up every year. So if you think it's a lot now, God bless you, live another 5, 10, 15 years, trust me, it's going to be more. So it's something that you want to take care of, because inevitably, for all of us, death will come. And you do not want to leave that on your family, like I said, as they are grieving and going through a trying time, worrying about how they can come up with money to have the kind of funeral. And that's something I hear all the time. I just want to bury my mother, my father, my husband, my wife, respectfully. And when you don't have the money, it becomes a challenge that you don't want to go through at a time that you're already going through something challenging. Definitely pre-plan. Pre-plan. You can come into a funeral home. You can put money down. You don't have to pay it all at once. Stay with the cemetery. You can go to the cemetery, put money down, and just pay on it monthly. And that way, when you pass, everything's paid for. Everything's paid for. All your family has to come do is tell them the date, where, what time, and bring you some clothes. And that's it.
You know, I remember, and I'm 76, but I grew up in a small town called Bogalusa, and Bogalusa became noted for their civil rights activity, and because of a group called the Deacons, they were the first black group to carry guns in the civil rights movement for self-protection. But being in the South, I remember that people, what I considered the older people then, would go to the funeral home and set up a plan. They paid, they called layaway.
You can put money down, or even if you have insurance, you can just let the funeral home know at the time of your passing.
Yeah.
Your insurance will be paid for.
Yeah, yeah. And so oftentimes, you know, what I'm oftentimes reminded of is that so often black people didn't have a lot of cash on hand, but they could plan their money to get things done. And paying for that funeral, it was a thing of pride to say that I've taken.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you have not spoken true words. I've been in the funeral home, and families have come in, this is no joke, with 50 policies, and it might have added up to $800. But yeah. Grandma, mom, and daddy paid on their policies, paid some a nickel a week.
Yes.
You know, there'd be 50 of them, and it wouldn't add up to $800, but they plan.
Yes.
You know, they plan. Now you have families come in, and they have these group policies, and they could be worth $100,000, and they're like, cremation, I need my money. Whereas back when I started this in my 20s, $10,000 paid for everything.
Yes.
And they wanted to pay, and I'm not knocking anybody. Economic times have changed, values have changed, people have changed. But $10,000 could have paid for the funeral and the cemetery, and they want the best. Now it's like $100,000 and cremate, because I have a child in school. I got to pay my mortgage off. I got this debt I have to pay.
Yeah.
You know, thinking and times have changed. figures and times have really changed. And I'm not that old, but I've been at this about 38, almost 40 years.
Yeah, well, one of the things I think sometimes times have changed, and people look at it's your relatives' money that is that they left or that they paid for, and that some people get to be so self-centered about what I need to do with this money. It ain't your money. It's like during the pandemic, my mother. She says to me, I'm not going to church, but I'm paying my tithes because that's God's money. Mm-hmm. And so it seems to me that when somebody has an insurance policy for $100,000 or $25,000, and all you want to do is skimp so that you can have, and then you turn around and half the time you waste it. You don't even put it to good use. People sometimes save the money and have a policy so that you can get ahead in life. First thing you want to do is go out and buy a new car or a new set of clothes. Mm-hmm. You know, and
we,
so...
We can have a whole nother show on that. That might be a series.
But I am grateful that there are still people who, in the African-American community, care. And absolutely. Some of them do the right thing. And I always try to find good examples of those who care and do the right thing. And what I do, I'm always getting complaints about what black people don't do. And my argument is that you're right, but there's a whole bunch of us out here doing what we should do, because exactly. We wouldn't be where we were today, if we had not, if some people had not done what they did. And when people say, well, why did y'all do that? I wouldn't have taken that. Well, you didn't have to, because we did. Now, the thing is, what will you do to make things better for us as seniors or for your children or for yourself?
Exactly. That's the key to all of it. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, to have these kind of people in interviews and talking about this over the air is so necessary. And Ms. Jenkins has some funny some funny stories. Just so happens, she helped me prepare my oldest daughter for burial. And whew, it's something. It's a lot to go through. And when you have conflicts within the family and this and that, it gets crazy. But, you know, history comes along, Mr. Chuck Hicks, and straightens us out. Get us going back in the right direction. The Tuskegee situation is flawed in terms of the storyline itself. And he knows. So you can take this word as the gospel. You know, and it's so important. Well, look, we're going to wrap it up here. We've done what we needed to do so far, and we're just going to be waiting for the event to come up on Sunday. Chuck, we're going to give you the last word out, and remember, this is King Scott Radio. Support Black Radio, because we are necessary as well. Go ahead, Chuck. Take us out.
Let me just say that we welcome anybody to join us on the motorcade. We line up at 11 o'clock at the African American Civil War Museum, which is on Vermont Avenue and U Street. And we welcome anybody. Come get. We'll help decorate your cars. We'll give you paraphernalia to give out during the motorcade. And let's just celebrate black men. Let's know that black men have been important, and that we've caught the short end of the stick since we've been here. But it's important that we say, black men, we celebrate you. Thank you.
You know, also, before we go, Ms. Jenkins and I are working on an event for breast cancer. I'm preparing it to come to her location, because she has a decent-sized parking lot where women can get mammograms right there on the spot, and it could go to their doctors, and if there's any issues, it's going to be taken care of, because it's through other organizations that this is basically free. So we're working on that. That's something that's coming up. I don't want the women to think that we're leaving them out on Father's Day, because we're not. We're planning this, and I'm still working on it. But just to let you know, Ms. Jenkins is still in the game big time. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been King Scott Radio and TV. God bless you, and we love you. Thank you, Ms. Jenkins. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.